Now let's bow in prayer and ask God's blessing upon our gathering together this evening. Let's all pray. Our Father, we are indeed amazed that you, the God of heaven, the righteous, holy, perfect individual, could look down upon us. We feel ourselves at times, at least, to be what the Apostle Paul referred to as the chief of sinners. There are times when we feel that, we know that, and we ask that you would help us as we gather in this way tonight to meet with you. We want to hear your word. We want to feel the power of the living God. We are comparatively few in number. There are many walking past this building now. But we ask that we might meet with you. And we ask that it might please you to bring in others that are not with us at this point to meet with us and to hear your word and to be blessed of you. So hear us now. Help us, we pray, our God, and bless us. For we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Now we're going to read together from our Bibles, and we're reading from the book of Ruth. We began to look at some aspects of Ruth's book, or the book that bears her name, this morning. We're going to read the whole chapter this evening. So Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. And therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." There's this query as to whether that should read husband or family. And I think probably family is a better rendition. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, go. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would you wait to them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Then they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she, that is Ruth, was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Now we leave that reading of God's word at that point and trust that God will help us as we try to come to terms with what's being said in that passage. Now let's come and speak to our God. Let's bring our prayers, our gracious eternal God, the one that is listening now to the words that we bring before you, the things that we ask for. You know us. You know all there is to know about us. We ask that you would help us and hear us and speak with us. We come hungry and thirsty. We come longing that we might be fed even this night with heavenly food. Help us as we read your word. Help us as we try to get to grips with some of the things that your word tells us. Ruth was a remarkable woman. Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, knew that the Lord God doesn't always deal easily and well with his people. But we ask that you would help us tonight to know something of this. So come near to us. Come close to us. Be very near. And bless your word to us. The word that we have read. The word that by your grace will be opened to us. Give us a sense that as we read your word, you will speak to us. This is the word of the living God that was written for our learning. Help us to know this. Help us to understand what you have said to us in this passage that we're thinking through. Be mindful of this church and all that happens here. Be mindful of every individual member of this church. Those that come regularly, those that have committed themselves to serving you in this place. We ask for those that cannot be with us tonight. Help them. Be near to them. Show yourself kind and gracious to them. We ask too for every opportunity that this church has to proclaim the truth as it is in Jesus to other people. We thank you that the church building is here where it is, and there are so many people that come and pass this building. There are many people next door in the pub, and they will be doing their thing. But we are gathering here to worship not only the works of men, but the God of all the earth. We want to speak to you, our Father. We want to ask you for our world. We want to ask you for ourselves and for our friends and for our families and those that are near and dear to us, but as yet they do not know you as their Lord and Saviour. We pray, O God, that even this night many would come to lay their souls down at your feet and say to you, Lord, take me and make me your own. So be near to us, our Father. Bless everything that emanates from this building, not just the building itself, but what the building represents. It has been here for so long. Many have come to know you as a result of this building existing. And we ask for every one of them. Some have found you as their Saviour. Others, many others, have heard of the Saviour from this place. And we ask that you would be near to them. We ask that those that have heard but as of yet have never trusted you, we ask that they, this night, might know something of you. We ask that you would build us and strengthen us. We ask that this building might come to represent to so many the place where God lives and the place where the Word of God is believed implicitly. We ask, O God, that you would direct us in all that we do and encourage us, help us, for we ask all of these things in our Saviour's mighty and matchless name. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles nearby, we're going to look at that section that we read together in the book of Ruth, and try and make sense of what's read there. Now this morning, we looked at the beginning of this book, and we said this morning that there are two great decisions. We can find more than two great decisions in this book, but I want us to look at just one of them this evening. We looked at one decision this morning, a decision that was made by Ruth's in-laws. It may very well be that it was just one man, a father-in-law, because the men in those days, no longer does it apply, but the men in those days made the statements. They were living in Bethlehem, but Bethlehem, society in Bethlehem was not good. And on top of the difficult living conditions in Bethlehem, a famine struck the land. And everybody then lived life very difficult, with very great difficulty. Now, after a comparatively short time, Elimelech and his wife Naomi moved to Moab, and they settled there. And Elimelech died quite early as they had gone to live in Moab. Not long after that, Naomi survived this, but Naomi's two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, met up with Moabite girls quite naturally and almost acceptably. The only problem was that they were not believing women. They worshipped the gods of Moab. But they married and they seemed to have set up the house and the home. But then, 10 years later, tragedy struck and both Mahlon and Chilion died. A tragedy for the two wives, for the two women that were left, but also a double tragedy for Naomi. Now, I want us to think about the second decision that was made. You can find at least three, if not four or five, but we're looking at the second decision. And the decision was made by Ruth. Verse 6 of Ruth, chapter 1. Then she, that is Naomi, arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Though the famine was over, there was food again in the shops or the markets or whatever it was. Naomi had become aware that the famine in Bethlehem was over. She had become aware, we don't know how, that the news had got to them. And she wanted to go back. This was her land. And we form a sense of identity with a certain place. Some of us come from different parts of the country or the world, and this is where we often call home. I can't remember how long it is since we've been up to Manchester, where we grew up, both Maureen and I, but it's still home, I'm more than happy to refer to it as home, even though our home now is in Canterbury. The background to this decision really begins with this news that Naomi had gathered from somewhere or another that the famine was over and that after 10 or more years she could go back. And in verse 9 of chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9, we read this. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, they're on the way to go back from Moab, back to Bethlehem. Now, we can imagine them on a hill, or I can anyway, and they're looking, which way are they going? They're at some kind of a crossroads. And Naomi says to the two girls, go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. Now what this passage is really, is a farewell. As far as Naomi was concerned, she was urging the two girls that she'd come to love, go back. Go back to your own place. They were, without question, at a kind of crossroads. One road leading to Moab and the other road leading to Bethlehem. She wanted the best for the girls. She wanted what was good for them and what was best. So she spoke to them. And it was a tearful experience for them all. She was thankful for what these girls had done. And she told them, "Thank you for your goodness to me and to those who had died. Go back and find help in your own country, in your own family home." So in verses 8 and 9, we read of Ruth's plea, or Naomi's plea. But then in verse 10, we get the response of these two girls. It's a joint response. Whether one of them said to the other, "You go on, you tell her," or whatever it was, we don't know. But this is what was said. "And they said to her." Now, I could imagine just one of them speaking. "But they said to her, 'Surely we will return with you to your people.'" Now, they make a stand at this point. They're making a stand. "Surely we will return with you." "Surely" is a word that could be translated, "No, we're not going back. We're staying here with you, and we're going this way, back to Bethlehem." "We, surely we." The word "we" there is emphatic. "We, let alone anyone else, we are not going back. We will not return to our people. We're coming with you to your people." Now, this is a clear indication, to my mind at least, that Naomi had spoken not only about her God, but about her people. And that's a good thing to remember. We can speak about the things of God. We can speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's speak also about his people. There are some tremendous Christian people around. And you have some of them here. And that's a good thing. I cannot imagine not being able to see some of the Christian men that I've known over many years. Let's speak of them. Let's say they were good individuals. Now, let's move on and let's look at Naomi's retort. Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Return," she says. "Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands?" There was a strange rule in Judah and in Israel that if a woman was married and she did not produce children, then her husband's brother would have to marry the girl. Now, that might be okay in one sense, but we might not like the wives that some of our brothers have taken. That's how it goes. "Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back," verse 12, "my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." God does deal with us in strange ways. But always when he deals with his people, it's for a reason. It's for a good reason. Now, there's clearly a sense here of unrestrained affection on Naomi's part. For both of the girls, or also on both of the girls, she doesn't just reply. Naomi just doesn't say, "Oh, no, no." No, she retorts. There's a retort here. She's saying this clearly. "I want you to go." She will not hear of them coming with her. And she gives the reasons. "It's a sheer impossibility that if you come with me, I could be the kind of mother that I would want you to have. I want you to have good husbands, and I cannot produce that. Even if I had a husband tonight, would you wait? Would you wait for, say, 20 years? I don't know how long it might have been. But could you wait 20 years? Why should you wait? And so Naomi speaks clearly and powerfully, even through her tears, at this point. And then the next point that we can remind ourselves of is the separate responses that come from these two girls. And verse 14 is the passage that we're looking at now. And I do maintain that this is one of the most poignant verses in our Bibles. Verse 4. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. The tears were flowing thick and fast. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Ruth wasn't letting go of Naomi. All three of these women are now in tears. And it was acceptable that they be upset. This was potentially a farewell. Orpah kissed Naomi, her mother-in-law. She was so close to this woman that she kissed her. But sadly, she turned away and went back to Moab, to her people and to her gods. Even though a few minutes before, she pledged herself never to leave her. I've known many people in this condition, and it may be, I don't know, but it may be that here tonight there are some of you so close that you could kiss that Saviour. But does that mean you know him as your Saviour? You could kiss him and turn around and walk away. I've been with many that have been in that condition, and I could give you a list of them. They've been so close, but yet they weren't saved. And there may be a case here that is so close, and people would say, I'm sure she is a Christian. I'm sure he belongs to the Saviour. That they're not. Christians are specific people. Ruth, on the other hand, Naomi's there and told them both to go. Orpah has gone. But Ruth, on the other hand, clings simply but powerfully to Naomi with such a tight grip that she would not let her go. You're not leaving me, Naomi might have said. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you. Stop this persuasive argument. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or turn back from following after you. And then these remarkable words. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Remarkable, stirring words of Ruth. Now, some years ago, 30 years or so ago, I was asked I think it was a Monday, to go and speak at a ladies' meeting, a large ladies' meeting. There were probably 30 or 40 there. And they said, the man that's due to speak here has just said that he cannot come. Would you come in his place? That was over at Shepherd's Bush, if you're interested. It was Shepherd's Bush, whether you're interested or not. But that's where the place was. And I was exhausted. I didn't particularly want to go. But I felt that I had to go. And I drove over to Shepherd's Bush, wondering what I should say. And I began to read this passage, still unsure of what I was going to say. And when I'd finished reading this passage, one of the old ladies said, "Could I say something?" And I said, "Yes, please." You know, sometimes you're happy when people want to say something. So she said, "I came to know the Saviour through reading that passage." And I said to her, "When was this?" Now, this was in the 1980s. And she began to go over in her mind, 86, 87, 88, I think it was. So I said, "That was in 1988. And she said, "No, I was 88 when this happened. I was 88 years old and I read this passage." So, not suggesting that you're all getting on a bit, but this lady was 88 and she'd never found her peace with God. Gentle woman. So this can happen. Ruth was staying where she was with Naomi. Ruth was absolutely convinced of her choice here. "I'm not going to take a back step and a back place." That's what she was saying, really. "I want to follow you. You might not appreciate this, but I have loved you. I love you so much that I want you to stop persuading me to go away from you." And that's the way that Ruth spoke. Stop all this persuasive words that you're saying. "I'm well aware that Orpah has gone back to Moab. But I'm not going back. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, wherever you live, I will lodge there. Your people shall be my people. Your God, my God. And where you die, I will be there. I will die. And there will I be buried." What a statement that Ruth made to Naomi. It's a remarkable statement. She might have been persuaded to go back to Moab. "Your sister-in-law's gone back. You could join her, though I dearly love you. But you could have joined her. I've been told," says Ruth now, "of another people. Orpah's gone back to her family, to her people. That I've been told by you of another people. I've never met them. But from what you've told me, I ought to meet them. Because they are the people of God. I've been told also of another God. We have, in Moab, we have numerous so-called gods. But you've told me of the God of Israel, the God that is a Saviour, the God that can take away all of my sins. I've been told of another God, and I want to meet him. I want to meet him." Now, this is absolutely remarkable thing. "I don't ever want to be separated from you. Where you go, I'm going to go. Till death do us part." And there's no getting round what Ruth was saying here. She was deadly serious. Now, there were clearly people around us, even here this evening, that have been close to the Saviour, so close as to give the impression that you're one of His. You could kiss Him. You're so close to Him. Remember Orpah. She kissed her mother-in-law, and then she turned and walked away. She turned and walked away. Now, dear ones, I would be grieved beyond words if, when I reached that heavenly realm, you were not there. And not only would I be grieved beyond words, but I believe that there are many others that would be too. And when we arrive there, we'll be looking. Our great cry and great desire would be to see the Saviour. And there might be other favourites, Bible favourites, Peter, James and John, Jesus. We might want to see them. But there will be time to look around and say, is my son here? Are my daughters here? Are my friends here? Why are they not here? Dear ones, don't let anything keep you from the Saviour and from His heaven. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But the moment that you know something of the Saviour, it would be the hardest thing to do. To say, no, I'm not going. I don't want to go to heaven. I'm happy with my sin. I'm happy with my unbelief. You will be persuaded not to go. Your friends, your people, your family, they may be Naomi's in the sense that you have to say to, will you stop trying to persuade me not to go to heaven? There will be many. Because Ruth followed Naomi, Ruth became the husband of a godly man, a husband that she so desperately needed. She married that man. Boaz was his name. We have a cat at home called Boaz. Nothing to do with this story. I didn't give the cat a name. There is the cat. Beautiful Persian-like cat. But whenever I think of that name of Boaz, what a godly man. What a godly man. And it's men like that that we should be longing to know and to find. Eventually, after Ruth had married Boaz, she became a mother. She became the great great-grandmother, I hope I've got the right number of greats there, great-great-grandmother of King David, second king of Israel, the writer of many psalms. She became that kind of woman. And she couldn't have done that if she had walked away. She couldn't have been that had she have walked away when her mother-in-law persuaded her, go back to your people and to your part of the world. Dear ones, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. Be convinced that the Saviour that we so often speak of, the Saviour whose name is Jesus, the Saviour who says, come unto me, all that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. Some people will find it difficult to trust in God. Foolishness. Foolishness to do that. Foolishness, absolutely. I've known many people that eventually have come to trust in the Saviour. many great people, many people you might have known some of the names, but they've come to trust the Saviour. We met many people when we were over in Nashville some years ago. A man said to me, "Nashville," he said, "it's the last place in the world I would want to go." And I said to him, "Do you know what the main business in Nashville is?" He said, "Oh, it's that rotten music." So I said, "Well, you might not like the music, but are you aware that the greatest export that comes out of Nashville is Bibles?" And he didn't believe me. And I showed him, I think the Bible that I've got here has got Nashville written in it. Not because I bought it there, but because that's where the people are. Dear ones, the Saviour longs to meet you. And the Saviour would be sad and grieved if he did not meet you. Whether you are young, whether you are not so young, he wants to meet you. Give him your heart. Trust in him. Believe on him. And all of your sins could go. Even this night, before you walked out of the door, they can be gone like that. Not sure whether I've ever spoken to the children here. I have, when my daughter, who's getting on a bit now, when she was young teens, even before she was a young teen, she used to knit ties. She'd learn how to knit. And she made me a tie with every scrap of wool that she'd got. It was a multi, you know, Joseph and his amazing Technicolor dream coat. It was Michael and his amazing Technicolor tie. And I've often worn it. And what I've done is to say, the Lord Jesus Christ can take away your sins as easily as I can pull this tie off. And then I've pulled it and it snaps. It's meant to do that. Don't ask me how or why, but it's meant to do that. Dear ones, you could lose your sins overnight. You could lose them over the next 2 or 3 minutes. They could be gone. And you could be registered as one that will enter heaven and one that will meet that Saviour. There's no telling what you might become. There's no telling, as a Christian, what might happen to you if you came to trust in the Saviour. It's not just being a religious interest, like some people are interested in football teams. Never found out why, but that's how it is. I've never been that interested. But some people assume that being a Christian and going to church is just taking on another personal interest or hobby. No. The Saviour wants to know you. The Saviour was prepared to die for people like you. And Ruth came to feel something of that. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to follow where you go. I want your people to be my people. I want your God to be my God. If so many people have felt that, dear people tonight, why should it be so difficult not to trust in him? It shouldn't be difficult at all. At all. Well, let me leave the book of Ruth at that point. We've not gone far in it, I know, but there's more to come, maybe eventually. Let's just bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Ruth, and we ask that you would help us to know that story and to know the God of Ruth and to know the Saviour who can change our hearts and lives and minds as Boaz changed the life and the testimony of Ruth. Help us, we pray, and make us yours as it pleases you, But we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gracious God, help us all to leave all things concerning every one of us to the Father's will, and taste on him, relying still, even to afflictions, peace. We want the peace that you can give. My peace I give unto you, said Jesus. Help each one of us here tonight, even before we arrive back at our homes, to feel that we have something of the peace of God that passes all knowledge and all understanding. Thank you for being with us this day. Thank you for each person here this night. Be with us, remain with us, we pray, and bless us. For we ask it in that Saviour's name. Amen.